I don't really know why this. They even changed the color of the cars. The last several years we were there, we had a big program that was government financed out in Nebraska and Kansas and Dakotas and all in the wheat country up there. All of a sudden we had piles of wheat on the ground that was rotting because it didn't have equipment to move it with. It didn't have hopper cars to move the stuff to the silos. Right. And so the government finally got into this thing, and they subsidized some railroads, and Rock Island was one of them, to repair a lot of what they call jumbo hopper cars. It's the biggest hopper cars they make. And they had them sitting in sidings somewhere that was, maybe they'd been in a wreck or you know, for different things that happened to them. There was just bukus of them that were just sitting out there doing nothing. And so we pulled them things out all over the railroad, all over, you know, everywhere. And pulled them things out, and even other railroads pulled them out and sent them to Little Rock. And they moved nearly a whole shop down here from Chicago. I'm talking about equipment now, presses and benders and, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know, equipment, to work on this program, what they call this hopper car program. And we painted every one of them a light blue and put the new logo on them. And I see some of them still out there running around.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do too.
Uh-huh. I see every once in a while I'll see one in the train. And so they got the service out of the cars. They tell me that, you see, that Rock Island Corporation is still operating in Chicago. But the corporation owned the railroad, but they own other things also, other type of things. The corporation who owned the Missouri Pacific Railroad also owned a barge line on the Mississippi River. Now, I don't know about the Rock Island, but I know that they told me that was true. And Mr. Jenks used to be the president of Rock Island. And when he left Rock Island, he came over and became president of the Missouri Pacific. And his family just about owned Missouri Pacific and that barge line over there. So this thing is all interwoven together, you know. It's hard to get them separated sometimes.
Yeah. And I'd heard Missouri Pacific was in bankruptcy for many years.
Oh, yeah.
Nearly shut down
itself. Oh, yeah. 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 It just operated on the shoestring, you might say, for a long time. Yeah.
So I'm surprised if they kept that alive. You said the government didn't want too many railroads and too many lines.
Well, like I said, it was way back in the late 50s, early 60s when I saw a map in a magazine called Modern Railroads, and it wasn't public. It wasn't published publicly, you know, out. It came just to railroad offices. It came to our office, and it was about half inch thick. It's always a big magazine, glossy, you know. I mean, it was nice. It was done right. I saw a map in there showing about these railroads east and west and north and south that I was talking about. What somebody's idea was of how this ought to be. And of these transportation corridors. And that's where I learned about it at. And from then on, I could see things happening every once in a while. So to see things happening that was fulfilling that map.
Yeah. It's almost like the military, the base closings and this realignment.
Yeah. Right. Railroads we need in this country now is, of course, in my mind, that's one man's opinion now. We need the railroad. We need passenger service. We need passenger service like Japan's got, like Europe's got, you know. I don't know why the airlines cannot make money. Really, I don't. I never was connected to them in any way. But they've got a lot of people. I know that they were thousands of people. But once again, it's kind of like the boxcars and the trucks while I go talking about hauling cargo. See, you can put 15 or 20 passenger cars on a railroad train and haul, at least if you got 20 cars out there, you can haul at least 1,000 people. Now, you may take you a few more hours to get to the West Coast. But I'm going to tell you, they had some equipment that was luxurious. I mean, I rode some of them, I know. We used to, when you worked for the railroad, they used to, you could get free passes to ride these trains anywhere in the United States. And it was, it, they had some equipment that was really nice. As far as I'm concerned, there's no way to travel like a railroad. I think that's what this country needs. It needs to rejuvenate its railroad system and put money into these tracks for these, whatever you want to call them, super passenger trains or whatever. Those, I mean, if you put a train out there running 100 miles an hour and you run it 24 hours a day, you can get somewhere pretty quick. You can cover a couple thousand miles pretty quick.
Yeah. So I guess you were there when they ended passenger service for the Rock Island.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, I remember the last ones. Yeah, sure do. In fact, I worked, this is before I went into the union work, I worked at the depot in Little Rock, the one that's over where the Clinton Library is now. And I was over there when they quit the passenger service. I worked second trick over at 311. They called us passenger inspectors. That was what we did. We inspected the trains. We didn't inspect the passengers, but that's what they called us.
Yeah. What year was that? Was it 60s?
Yeah, somewhere along. I don't remember the exact year, to be honest with you. But I remember when it left, though. I remember when it quit.
Did they have to fire a lot of people when they did that?
Yeah, we lost several jobs at the depot. And you just didn't haul passengers, so you had mail cars on there. And mail service that went through. And hauled other things on this passenger train as well as passengers. And so they would just, like in Christmas time, well, of course, mail is always really, really hard and heavy anyway. And they would switch out a whole carload of mail from Little Rock and sit it on the siding. And then maybe cut in a car with a whole carload of mail for Fort Worth or something like this. And so that switch engine and switch crew went when the passenger service went. Our crew went, the inspectors. We're the ones that had to do all the connecting of the air and inspect the brake systems, make sure it all worked properly and all this sort of thing before we let that train go.
Was there any fight against people not wanting passenger service to end, or I guess it was not making money?
Really and truly, we went through a time there when they did not zero in on passenger service and people just quit riding because the service was bad, and they didn't. I had occasion sometimes to go aboard the trains, and I seen equipment that was not up to par. I seen it not clean. The cars not cleaned like it should have been cleaned, and this type of thing. And people just got to where, and long about then, you know, I say that. The happy days for America was before Vietnam started and after Korea ended. From about 1955 to, well, we were in Vietnam before 65, but we weren't really in there in a force, you know. We were advisors and all this kind of stuff. That 10-year span right in there was the happy days for America. The economy was great. Everybody was working. Anybody could get a job, wanted a job. And people was in a hurry. They didn't want to ride a train. They didn't want to take, you know, a few hours more to get somewhere. They want to get on a plane, airplane. The airliners in that day and time was making money hand over fist. Those were the happy days, and I'm afraid we'll never see them again. Not really. We were not involved in any war. You might say that during that span of time and everybody had plenty of work to do everywhere. But the railroads paid more attention to freight hauling than they did passenger service. Because, of course, another thing too, like I said, the airliners cut in on their business considerably. And so they finally just dwindled down until they got permission from the Interstate Commerce, ICC, to abandoned service.